Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. There's no sunnahs after the second Adhan. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي أنزل علينا كتاب مبين الحمد لله الذي خلق الإنسان في أحسن تقويم وبعث نبيين مبشرين ومنذرين وأنزل معهم الكتاب بالحق ليرشدوا الناس إلى سبيل الهدى ويخرجهم من الظلمات إلى النور وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ويا أيها المسلمون السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته الحمد لله أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل من حرم زنة الله التي أخرج لعباده والطيبات من الرزق وهي للذي قل هي للذي عملوا في الحياة الدنيا خالصة يوم القيامة كذلك نفصل الآيات لقوم يعملون سبحان الله يعلمون صدق الله العظيم. An expression of this, the 32nd ayah is of the seventh surah. It says, who has forbidden the adornment which Allah has brought forth for his creatures for the good things or the good things from among the means of sustenance? Say, these are for the enjoyment of the believers in this world and shall be exclusively theirs on the day of resurrection. Thus do we make clear our revelations for those who have knowledge. There's a report from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Its conclusion is, it's regarding Suhaib al-Rumi. We mentioned that Suhaib the Roman. And just mentioning the fact that he, in order to make hijrah, to join the Prophet and the companion that had left Medina, had left Mecca to go to Medina, he was extorted, if you will, and he willingly accepted to give all of his wealth and all of his property in order to be you know, allowed unmolested to go to Mecca to join the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So all that he had, he had sacrificed for that. Then, then when the Prophet saw him on his arrival, the Prophet said, "Adkhil ya Rumi, fa inna Allah qad ashtaraka min al-jannah." Sadaq Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I need to get something off my mind. My brother responded appropriately when I indicated there are no sunnahs after or for the adhan. The first call that's made, yes, then you can make those sunnahs. The second call is the beginning of the actual ritual of Jum'ah. It's like we have entered into the prayer, sort of like tahbir tahrima. Once you get here, Allahu Akbar, okay, it's prayer time. Relatively speaking, the two rakahs of, or the two parts of the Jum'ah, you have, good? Are you just checking your chest? Okay. You the mic man, you make moves like that. I think you're happy to be. All right. So it's like the two rakahs are symbolically representing the first two rakahs of the Zuhr prayer. The two parts of the Jum'ah. Part one, part two is like the first two rak'ahs. So the prayer has started with the second call, you know, ritually speaking. But if the first one, which comes before, then yes, there are sunnahs for that. Tahiyatul Masjid, and you can also do others at that time. What I want to recognize, I don't want no shade, nothing on my brother. Because what his response was, "Sami'a now wa ata'na," we hear and we obey. That's what believers do. That's it. So I need to get that off my chest so we can go on with the rest of the khutbah, okay? All right. Alhamdulillah, we are continuing to work on the subject of property, the last of the five in our acronym, family, intellect, religion, the self, and property. So we're still working on the fifth of those, and i.e. the last of those, which is the property. And we are working on getting a better perception of it. Indeed, when we were here last weekend, we were in Detroit, so alhamdulillah, Sheikh Abdul Rauf actually presented for us on, meaning for all of us, not just for me, for all of us on Friday last. But the week before that was part three of what I'm going to continue now, responsibly investing yourself. It's very important for us to understand everything that we do in terms of sadaqah, in terms of giving for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is you giving yourself. It's not you, I gave some money, I gave some time, I gave whatever. That's you giving yourself, and that's you investing yourself. Yes, it is also investing in yourself, but it is you investing yourself. And we talked about the ayat. We're actually, in a relative way, working through Surah 2 from 261 we started, but it actually goes back to 259 all the way to the end of the surah. I'm not saying that this series is going to include everything to be said about that, even if it could, between 261 to 286, but they very easily and very neatly express the deeper things that we need to understand and perceptions that we need to have about wealth as Allah intends for us to have it. let me try this little analogy as we go on. I want you just to imagine with me. Imagine if it was the case that we lived in the Matrix. You know, just imagination. That we lived in the Matrix, right? That everything that we're experiencing right now is a quote-unquote, a computer-generated illusion that we're all living on, and nobody's aware of this computer-generated illusion. Everybody feels like this is the reality, all right? And so that's where we are. Now, I said imagine, but there's another level at which what I'm saying to you is true. It is true. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this life is ghurur. Allah said this life is an illusion. But just don't get it twisted and jumped up. So therefore, everything is like the Matrix. No, you're making a mistake. Even though there are people out there playing it for us or to us in that way. But that's their scheme and that's their methodology for hypnotizing us in another way so as to get us to behave in a way that suits their interests. But Allah does say that this life is ghurur, mad'un ghurur. It is provisions and entertainment, chattel of deception, many different translations for this ghurur. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying this is ghurur. Allah is saying what you think you're seeing is not what you're actually seeing. This is what God said. God said, look, I heard one from you. I'm telling you. This is a revelation. It's something about your makeup, the way that you've been designed, that causes you to see, sense, feel, perceive things the way that you see, sense, feel, and perceive them. But that's a part of your three-dimensional reality as a human being on this plane called earthly existence. In reality, what you are perceiving, experiencing through your senses is a combination of the senses working in a way to deliver particular images and experiences to you. But those things, those bits and pieces, the light piece and the sound piece and the sensory piece, et cetera, they all come together in your consciousness to say, oh, we're at the masjid and we're experiencing this and we're experiencing. And that is what you see. Don't think you're dreaming. Why don't you wake up? No. It's real. It's real. However, move that, the nature of that understanding, this is why I want you to come with me. Move that the nature of that understanding to say that, do I really know family the way Allah created and intended for family to be? Do I really know intellect in the way that Allah intended and created intellect to be? Do I really know religion in the way that Allah intended and created it to be? Do I really know myself in the way that Allah created and intended for me to be? Am I living family, intellect, religion, and self in accordance with the haqq? The haqq. You know what haqq? Haqq is the reality. Then get past all the illusions, then you'll wind up at the reality. Allah is the one that created the reality, knows the reality, and we, until we get to that place, we are in an illusion. Life is not what, quote unquote, what we think it is if we're not thinking about it the way that Allah gave us to think about it. Now, so the same question comes to and about property. Do I really understand material life, which is part of human reality? Do I understand it the way that Allah intended for it? Do I really understand it in the way that Allah, by the way that he designed the nature of creation and the nature of human life and how it fits into his plan for this life and the next? Do I really understand that, or am I just operating on what I have learned so far or what I've always been told and it works for me? But are you operating and living in that matter, the way that Allah wants you to live in that matter? When you think about money, do you think about money the way Allah wants you to think about money? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the nature of life such that money is necessary and inevitable. Don't even think about your money as some evil creation. No. Allah meant and means for there to be money. Otherwise, everybody got to beat everybody up and just take stuff from them. So money is a means of exchange. So money stops war. Watch this real quick. I got to move on. It's not the main topic. Those countries that have good economic relationships, they ain't trying to go to war with each other. That's really important. I know they have their media talk. What time do I do? Where I should do it? Hey, go to the back room. And you got the Chinese and the Russians and the Americans and the British. They all sitting at the same table. Now, how are we going to cut this out? They're not trying to have no war. But let's move out of that. So when we last spoke, we talked about how the prophet, in accordance with that formula where Allah reveals in the Quran of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ba'athahu fil ummiyin رسول منهم يعلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة. الله أكبر, الله أكبر. What's the excitement, bro? It's this. The prophet came to a people who had been totally fallen out of their natural human form. The Arabs of Muhammad's time, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they were animals in human form. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised up from among those people who are animals in human form. And he came to them, ya'lu alayhim ayatihi, showing them how to follow the signs of Allah. Wa yuzakihim, and purifying them. In what? Family, intellect, religion, self, property. Purifying them in all of those fundamental columns of ummah. Huh? So their attitudes about family was purified and transformed from their subhuman attitudes about family. Their attitudes and perceptions of intellect were transformed from their subhuman perceptions of intellect. Their attitude towards religion was purified from their subhuman perception of what religion is. Their attitude about themselves was purified from that subhuman perception of themselves. And their attitude about wealth was purified from their subhuman perception of what their relationship with wealth is supposed to be. So when we get what Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us about and reveals and models for us about family, about intellect, about religion, about the self, and about property, we have what Allah intends for that. It's really important. Yeah, man, I take care of my family. Okay. What does that mean? Well, I pay the bills, put the food on the table. That it? Is there some other responsibility that you have to family? Is there something else you're supposed to do for the boys, for the girls, for the wife, for their future? You see? What is that? That's fundamentally an animal perception of family. I'm pretty sure I can find some creatures in nature that do the equivalent. Wolf? Come mess with the wolf family. See what's up. It's not happening. The lion, the gorilla, the chimpanzee. Man, hey, at my house, at my house, there's some bushes right in front of it. And so we were chopping down stuff, and we hit a beehive. And listen now. I know it's funny, but it really happened. This would have been one of those TikTok, you know, videos and stuff and say, you know, look at you eyes running from that bee, right? I mean, it would have been a million hits. That would have went viral. But man, that bee had me on the run. And it wasn't like he was just passing by. Like, I ain't really after you. I'm after that. I said, no, he's coming after me. And when I went that way, and I went that way, yes, I was scared. I mean, I could have stopped and just said, no, when nature takes over, it's serious right here. So I'm saying the bee will protect his home with his life. Against what? You can measure the bee by my finger. That's how big it was in reality. But it didn't care. You messing with my stuff. So there are claims that we can talk about things that we do as quote-unquote men, women, et cetera. It's like the lowest of animals do those kind of things. And so you can go back down that list again and ask, do I have the perception of these matters the way that Allah would have me perceive it, and am I interacting with it or acting with it in the way that Allah intense. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, pardon me, when the Prophet, peace be upon him, says, be glad, O Rumi, for indeed Allah has purchased you from the people of paradise. He says, قَدْ اشْتَرَاكَ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ. Allah has purchased you, the translator says, from the people of Jannah. Taken literally, he said, Allah has purchased you from Jannah. Right? So we just want to look for a minute. How does that work? Allah has purchased you from the people of Jannah, or from Jannah. That's upon the heels of an act of his, which he said, take all of this, I'm going to be with the Prophet in Medina. But the Prophet identifies it as Allah's purchase. And that Allah, the price that he paid, Suhaib al-Rumi, the price that he paid was Allah's price to purchase him from the people of Jannah. But let's look at that phrase, from the people of Jannah. You hear it in writings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam often. So let's look at the phrase. The phrase, from among the people, min al-Jannah, translated as from among the people of Jannah, in the hadith is significant because it indicates that the person being referred to is guaranteed a place in paradise. Ali radiallahu anhu, and we, inshallah, we may have some other things to say about Ali, was identified as the first intellectual in al-Islam, in the Ummah, that in terms of our lives, he said, speaking of that illusion, that is our reality at this time, he says, man is asleep. When he dies, he wakes up. Just think about it, please. I'm saying to you, I'm pleading with you, and I'm pleading with my own soul at the same time. Because if we really get this, we will really act different, better. And that is this. We think what we're experiencing right now, like this is reality. It's like, oh, I know I'm not asleep. I'm conscious. Okay? Yeah, in the physiological sense, yeah. But in the reality of Allah, you sleep. We're asleep. And when we awaken after that very brief transition from this thing, moment right here, very brief. I don't care if it's a billion years and more. Our death is going to be immediately followed by awakening in that reality that the believer accepts as it's already real. It's like... It's real. And I'm setting up my spot right now while I got time. So when it opens up, yeah, man, I made my reservation. Don't you want to make your reservation for Jenny? You make your reservation for Vegas? Come on, now, I ain't mad at Vegas. It's all good. It's all good. But I just had to hit you with something that I know gets right to you, right? So the it's guaranteed, right? It's a sign of their righteousness and their piety, and serves as an inspiration for those who would follow in their footsteps. The use of this phrase in hadith is a reminder to Muslims of the importance of striving to be among the people of paradise by following the teachings of Islam and living a righteous life. It is also a source of hope and comfort for believers, because it reminds them that Allah is merciful and forgiving, and that they too can attain paradise if they live a life of piety and righteousness. See, when the Prophet says, Ya'lu, well, when the Quran says of the Prophet, Ya'lu alayhim ayatihi. So this follow the signs of Allah. So Suhaib al-Rumi, in this example, he is one of the signs of Allah. Allah is saying, look, if you be like Rumi, you'll be guaranteed. Now, I'm not talking about the poet. I'm talking about Suhaib in the time of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you're like him, then you too can be among the people of Jannah. Be as willing as he has demonstrated to you as a sign from Allah to do what he did, and you too can be guaranteed paradise, inshallah. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسْنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسْنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. الله أكبر. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. There's a hadith. Iyad ibn Khamr radiallahu anhu, he reported the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the people of paradise are of three kinds. An authority who is fair, truthful, and guided. A man who has mercy and kindness in his heart towards his relatives. And every Muslim, that is, you have this mercy and kindness in your heart towards your relatives and every Muslim. And the third is one who refuses to beg, although he has dependents. All right? So, and there are many other examples of this phrase being used in terms of being among the people of paradise. So that means you're in this world, but you're among the people of paradise because of your behavior. So that behavior is your ticket to Jannah. So the examples have been given, okay, be like this one, and you got your ticket to Jannah. Be like that one, and you got your ticket to Jannah. So the invitation is, if you want to be among those who are, even as you live in this life, if you want to be among those who are of the people of Jannah, then act in particular ways, and that reserves your spot, inshallah. And in the verse that we opened with, it says, who has forbidden the adornments of Allah that he has brought forth for his creatures, or the good things from among the means of sustenance? These are for their enjoyment, that is the enjoyment of the believers in this world, but it is exclusively for them on the day of resurrection. Thus do we clearly expound. Allah is saying, I'm being very clear to you. Praise be to Allah. Thus do we clearly expound our revelation for those who have the science of it. Ya'lamun. The Saturday broadcast, you know, we'll elaborate more. We'll just touch on something related to this purification. We want to purify our perception of property, because if you don't relate to property, if you don't relate to property properly, then you don't get the khair, you get the shar. You don't get the benefit of the property, you get the harm that comes from the property if you don't have the right perception of it. And as we mentioned before, and I was reminded recently, that we don't own anything. The only thing that we own is our attitude towards it. So if our attitude toward it is a corrupt attitude towards it, then that attitude needs to be purified. But Allah says in this verse, he said, I'm making it clear to you for the people who have the science. So he's saying, wait, don't move too quickly. I don't want none of the dunya. I don't want none of the dunya. Just give me Allah. For Bilalians, you back in the church. It's all right if that's where you want to be. But as a Muslim, that's not our attitude. As a Muslim, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنِيَا حَسَنَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَا وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. So what it's saying is the proper perception of property, a part of it, I won't take this as the conclusion. The proper perception of it is to understand what is the value and the limitations of property in this world. What is the use of it in this world as intended by Allah? Take use of it and relate to it in the way that Allah says you should take use of it and relate to it. How does what I have in this world relate to this life, and how does it relate to the life that comes hereafter? And God makes that plain to us too. In a verse you hear me saying often, وَابْتَغِي فِيمَا أَتَاخَ لَهُ دَارُ الْآخِرَةِ وَلَا تَنْسَى نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. God said, yeah, make your reservation. That's me translating. Make your reservation. See what the means that God has made available to you? That's done. But don't forget your share of this material world. Some of this is yours. How come? Why you got to be righteous, you got to be sad, poor, broken, hungry. And say, I'm waiting on God. I'm going to God if my reservation has been made. No. God said, get some of this earth. Somebody know what I'm talking about. It's yours, right? So speaking of Ali, the idea is to have just the right attitude toward it. I'll mention a set of verses, and we're going to be concluding in the next 2 minutes, inshallah. There's a set of verses, 17 chapter, 18 to 22. I'm not even going to go into them. Read them and think about them relative to what I'm saying at this point. And what he essentially is saying, just have a balanced attitude towards property in this world. If you have a balanced attitude, enjoy it. It's for you. And it's also for other people. And when I get excited, I revert to my body. But it's for other people as well, right? But in the Yawm al-Qiyamah, it's only for believers. But don't leave here. You left all this goodness behind. And God said, I brought this out. I brought it out for you. You see that? Oh, you like that? Get it. But had the right attitude about it. Huh? Like the man with the two guards in Surah Taqaf, 18. Okay. So the key, 17, 18, 19, what I want to say. That's that age range that's really being taught the wrong ideas of property. All you got to do is just listen to the music and look at the videos, et cetera. That's being aimed at them, the 17 to the 18, the 17 to the 22. That's age range. The chapter I'm speaking of, 17 chapter, 18 to 22nd verse. But just that whole range of age group 17 to 22, they are being given the wrong attitude about property. Be cautious of that. Be cautious of that. But now, that being said, here's something that could potentially help us not to be overly enamored with the excellent things in this world. Ali radiallahu anhu, he said, there are five things people derive pleasure in: drink, food, fragrances, clothes, and sexuality. Ali goes on to say, the highest drink in this world is water, and it's the least of things in this world. The highest food is the vomit of bees, that's honey. The highest clothes, my alarms. The highest clothes is the excrement of worms, that's silk. The highest smell is the mucus from a deer, that's the fragrance of musk. And the greatest pleasure in this world is the meeting of the two urinary tracts. And that's this world. So in this world, these five things that men, the human beings think of, the highest and greatest pleasure, the best things in the world, come from some of the worst places. That's Allah reminding you. Are you all excited about this field? Don't you know that it's the boo-boo of a worm? You all excited about this musk? Don't you know that's the snot from a deer? You all excited about these conjugal relations? Don't you know that's just two urinary tracts bumping up against each other? You excited about the, let me take you all the way back. The alizé, that's the other folks. They're not us. You all excited about the alizé, but the water is the best. So Allah and these companions, they're telling us, don't get it twisted. Enjoy it, but don't put it in the wrong place. رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابُ. أَلَهُ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إلى العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. Oh Allah, we thank you for your graces. We thank you for your blessings. Oh Allah, give us the best understanding, the best perception. Mold our thinking and our understanding and our practices and our behavior in a way that pleases you. Oh Allah, bless us not to be overwhelmed by the trials of this world. And bless us not to neglect the favors that you have put upon us, because we will not deny any of the favors that you have favored us with. Oh Allah, guide us nearer to the path, even as we beg this to be only for none can grant us hold us but you. Ameen. Allahumma ameen. Tak. Atma salat. La ilaha illallah, Sayyidina Muhammad Rasulullah. Those who came in your home, come Allah. I have to make a very important announcement before we break. And community service, you should also monitor this after we finish the prayer with this statement. the setup for tomorrow, needs to be done before all the men leave the space. There are things, carpets need to be rolled up, stuff needs to be pulled out of the side there. It can be done very quickly, but then also, I saw the truck when I pulled up. I'm parked on Foothill myself. So the truck that has the games in it for the arcade to be set up for our activities tomorrow, they're there waiting. They've been waiting since I've been in. The contract says they come in and do it at 2:30, okay? So that means everything that we need to do to clear out that space for them to come in to do what they have to do and also therefore clear out this space to set it up in a way for Eid tomorrow, inshallah, that has to be done. So please, men, move a chair, move a rug, roll up, do something before you don't leave like you just walked out. You're not a visitor. Do something, okay? When you do that, then you've done your part. I don't care. It can be just one chair. It can just be, okay, I rolled up a rug halfway there. It was fine. And, I'm kind of halfway joking, but the point is do that. And please, no matter what, don't stop hanging around and have a lot of conversation when everybody else is working. That's wrong. Okay? If you got to go, you just got to go. But the point is that just go. Okay? So I try to be kind. That's the best I can do. I'm working on it. Inshallah. So what's the name of Allah? Allahu Akbar. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم والتين والزيتون وتور سنين وهذا البلد الأمين لقد خلقنا الإنسان في أحسن تقويم ثم رددناه أسفل سافلين إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات فلهم أجر غير ممنون فما يكذبك بعد بدين أليس الله بأحكم الحاكمين الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمد الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. ألحاكم تكاثر حتى زرتم المكابر كلا سوف تعلمون ثم كلا سوف تعلمون كلا لو تعلمون علم اليقين لترون الجحيم ثم لترونها عين اليقين ثم لا تسألون يومئذ عن النعيم. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمدا. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. الفاتحة. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. الحمد لله. So Ibrahim, where you at? Ibrahim. Everybody look for your direction, your instruction from Ibrahim. Please don't make sunnahs now. We need to get the space cleared up. There's only one announcement for all the birthdays, anniversaries, graduations, et cetera, that are not mentioned today. It's on me. We got other things we got to do. But I will, the banquet for Richmond, at the Richmond Community, not Community Center, Masjid Taqwa, it's okay, I get it. I just get it out of it. But the Richmond Community, at the Richmond Convention Center, I believe it is July 8th. We have maybe about five tickets. We had a table. Messy World Theme is a table. So if you want to be at a Messy World Theme table, you can buy that ticket back there at the cash table right now. Also, any of you who know you're going to Newark for a time to be grateful, then it's likely that Messy World Theme is going to buy a table for that event as well. So if you want to make note that, yeah, I'm going to Newark and, yeah, I want to be at that table, then also at least give a note as a reservation to the Zakat table for that. So I'm going to give this over the mic. Okay. Go ahead. Now, I'm turning over to Ibrahim. Just listen while you work. As to what's going to need to be done. Go on. Allahu Akbar. Good.
Don't have a conversation. Respect. Thank you. All right,
thank you. We're done.
Sounds like Blog Talk.